everybody. Welcome to another year of Training Camp Live presented by our great partners here in St. Joseph, Heartland Health. They allow us to bring this show to you every time there's a practice here in St. Joseph, Missouri. Josh Looney, voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holt is with you. It's just the first day of camp. The team hasn't gotten out on the practice field for a practice yet. There was a morning walkthrough today, but it doesn't mean we're short on any sort of news. And it all started yesterday, Mitch, with arrival and, of course, to the wire, Dontari Poe signing, and it's in camp here practicing with the Chiefs.
And it puts 89 souls on this roster, 89 of 90 on the field this afternoon. And great to see Dontari get here. I don't think anybody was really concerned that it was going to be the kind of holdout, but he did a good job this spring. I like what's going on the defensive line. There appears to be good depth there. I think they're going to ease him into his role, whatever that role is going to be, and that's okay with me.
This is the first time since 2006 the Chiefs have had all of their draft picks under contract for the start of training camp. In 2006, Tom Bahali inked his deal in Arrowhead Stadium, then ran across the parking lot to catch the bus to head to River Falls, got on the bus and the plane there. And then a few years ago, Eric Berry, if you remember, missed one training camp practice. But since Hali, the Chiefs haven't had all of their draft picks in camp for the start. So it's a significant step forward, as you said, with the CBA, Mitch. There were some reports earlier this week that the Chiefs weren't close with Poe in a deal. And the deal did get done. And if you looked at this offseason, to me, it would have been a shock if he did not arrive at training camp on time, because this is a guy who went through not only all of OTAs, not only all of minicamp, but Coach Cornell had remained optimistic. Dontari Poe remained optimistic on a deal getting done. And then the guy goes on a volunteer trip to Joplin in the offseason. So he was doing everything possible to be part of this team during the offseason program. I think it was just a matter of semantics in getting the deal done and getting him here.
Well, whatever it was, he's here. And that's the best news. And again, with the new collective bargaining agreement, this is a new day and age for rookie contracts. And honestly, it might be one of the best things of the CBA, because the rookie salaries were getting out of hand, and both the players and ownership around the league agreed on that. So it's a fair deal. Poe's here, and just let him go. But it's exciting to see these guys getting after it. Even with the walkthrough today, Josh, you could kind of just see the wheels start to spin a little bit, not only with Poe and the other rookies, but we saw Dexter McCluster do some work at Gunner on punt coverage today. So you're looking at trying to figure out ways to use Dex. If he and Devon Wiley make the roster, both of them make it, they're both going to have to be in special teams and not just as returners. I mean, that's going to be one of the things we can talk about as the days transpire, but there will be a ton of competition on this roster. That's going to be my focus when we're online doing the Finding the 53 over the next couple of weeks, is the intense competition. I think it's the most intense in probably 7 years with this franchise, and that's a good sign, because this is young talent starting to emerge. These aren't guys at the end of their careers.
Specific to Dontari Poe, where does he start? Does he start as a day one starter for the Chiefs? Well, it's not going to happen today in training camp. When the Chiefs go out on the practice field later this afternoon in about an hour, it won't be Dontari Poe. It won't be Jarrell Poe. It won't be Amon Gordon working with the first team at nose tackle. It will be a guy who came on this team as off waivers from Green Bay back in 2010. He's only played 5 games for the Chiefs over the last 2 seasons, all of last year on the practice squad, but he had a great off-season performance in the OTAs and minicamp, and Anthony Toribio has earned the duties to begin training camp as the number one nose tackle. Romeo Crennel made that announcement earlier today.
Well, I tell them that all jobs are open and that everybody is starting over, even the veteran guys, you know, because every year you do start over. Now, I mean, I know what the veterans can do, and I'm gonna be biased toward those guys, you know. But if a young guy comes on and shows me something, then he might end up getting some plays. For instance, some guy named Poe, all right, he might end up getting some plays, you know, and he might end up being a starter at some point down the line, you know. But he's not starting right now.
Who's your starter right now?
Toribio.
Well, Mitch, you and I had a conversation about that exact topic of what do you take from this and that announcement today? Is it Crennel simply sticking by his guns and motivating that rookie Poe to get in the lineup? Is it they're going to use him, Poe, in some sub-package snaps and some spot things, and they need a big body who's maybe going to do the two-gap early in the season before Poe becomes a starter eventually? What do you take from today's announcement?
Well, I'd blacken in the oval all of the above of your questions there. I just think they're going to ease Dontari Poe into this situation. I think he's got a chance to be a very good one-gap player. I think he's going to be an up-the-field guy early in his career. You'd like to have him be a three-down player over time, which I think he'll morph into. But this is a way of just easing him in. It's not putting him in the deep end of the pool in the first day of swimming lessons. Let's go talk about Toribio, though. This is why you scan the rest of the National Football League. The Chiefs, over the last 3 years, I believe, maybe four, have played the Green Bay Packers in the preseason. And Toribio was on the Packers roster late. The Packers, as you know, at receiver and some other places, have an embarrassment of riches. With B.J. Raji and other good defensive linemen, they didn't really want to cut Toribio.
Right.
And they did, but the Chiefs were able to snag him right away. It's one of the main reasons the Chiefs are inviting Arizona here for a week, not only playing during the preseason, but to look at their roster for a week. The Chiefs have had a chance to look at the Packers up close and personal, and one of the guys they were able to pick up was Anthony Toribio, who now either be a starter, part-time starter, or a significant contributor, at least to the start of this preseason.
Now you look at Toribio and what he can do. It'll be interesting to follow that development throughout camp, how the Chiefs are using Dontari Poe, a guy who was not at camp today. Dwayne Bowe remained unsigned with the unsigned franchise tender. Also, Brandon Albert missing from today's practice, excused for family reasons. But the big news today of not necessarily who isn't on the field, Mitch, but who's going to be back on the field. The big three, all those left ACL injuries, Moyaki, Charles, Barry, passed their final physical that they had to pass on Thursday. They were out there this morning. They've been cleared to participate fully in this afternoon's practice, so there's not going to be any PUP, any physically unable to perform, sending them to some sort of active injured reserve. None of that. These guys are cleared. They're ready to play, and that's the big news of today. Not Dwayne Bowe being away and Brandon Albert missing for family reasons, but these guys back on the field and okay to play.
You rarely get a kind of a surge of adrenaline during walkthroughs, but I did this morning when I saw 29 out there in red, which the defense was in red, to see 25 out there in white, the offense was in white, and to see Moyaki out there, because that's the one I was hoping would be there, but was a little bit concerned because he didn't do quite as much this spring on the side as Jamal and Eric did. I knew Jamal and Eric already. They've been foaming at the mouth like rabid dogs ever since the beginning of spring work. But Moyaki was out there too. And you're right. We're going to have a GABA Chiefs fans here out in the field and list a little bit, and that will be the best sight for anybody's eyes to see those three running around. By the way, they were running around this morning.
Tony had a few nice catches. Of course, the defense was letting everyone catch the ball, but Tony was running around looking like Tony. Romeo Crennel was asked an interesting question in today's press conference, and it's one I've been asked by fans. It's one we've talked about on the show. Are there really any starting positions up for grabs here at training camp? And I guess one you'd think of, if you had to look at, you would say, well, possibly Javon Belcher, Brandon Seiler. And Crennel was asked that directly today, and here was his response about Javon Belcher. Is he a starter, or is he being pushed for that role?
Well, we feel like that Belcher is a good, solid leader, good, solid player for us in our 34 defense, you know. And so what will be a determining factor for his play time is how much 34 defense we play. Mm-hmm. And as you know, that many offenses have gone to multiple wide receiver sets, and many times we match that with our nickel or subgroup. And so when we do that, he's not on the field, you know. He falls into that category where we like him, we like what we see, we like what he brings to the team, but he is not able to play as much because we're running more sub. Now, with that being said, he also plays on special teams and makes a contribution on special teams, so then now he's a three-down player, you know, whereas some of the other guys who play three downs, they don't play as much on special teams, and they are three-down players.
Camp and the fact that a lot of the starting positions appear to be safe on this roster, Mitch, and another one we learned today, I guess fans would say, well, what about Jeff Allen, the rookie, the second round pick at left guard with Ryan Lilje? Is that going to be a competition? Romeo said that Jeff Allen's actually going to get some work at tackle during camp as well, in addition to his role at left guard. Ryan Lilje showed no signs of giving up that starting role in OTAs. In fact, Allen missed the majority of the offseason program with an ankle injury. So it's really interesting, and it's one thing you're going to take a look at and you're finding the 53 this year, because just because there's not a whole lot of starting positions up for battle doesn't mean there aren't positions up for grabs, because yeah, the starters may be kind of penciled in, maybe inked in on this roster, but behind them there's a whole lot of room for movement and for guys to make this team.
Well, a couple things. One, during walkthroughs, they do give you a shot at the depth chart, because when you see the offensive line, you'll see the ones, twos, right, and threes up there, and Allen really is at number two left guard and number three left tackle, if you will. I think it's more of a depth issue with him. Then we saw Donald Stevenson, because of Brandon Albert being out today, work with the number ones at left tackle. But I just get the sense that they don't want to force feed these rookies into roles, you know, before they're ready, or just take their time in getting them there. The other thing with the starters, and I might take it in the reports I'm going to have over the next couple of weeks, I see starters something different. I also see starting nickel package on defense. Who's the nickel back? Who's the starting dime back when they go with six defensive backs? What do they do when they go to big linebacker? I almost count those guys as starters, because this league has changed so much that you're in almost as many snaps in that category as you are if you're in just a base 3-4. Offensively, with what I've seen, and we've seen Brian Daboll do this, and it's what I'm really excited about, is all the different formations and personnel packages he's going to put on the field for the Chiefs. So, to me, I'm counting starters as who's in the slot position when they go one back, one tight end, two wide, one slot. Who's there in their double slot, they go four wide, one back. Or who's the one back in there when they go to those variety of sets. Sometimes it'll be Peyton Hillis, sometimes it's going to be Jamaal Charles. But I'm looking at the Dexter McCluster, Devon Wiley discussion a little bit of how they're going to be used. So it's not just 11 guys in the base offense or 11 in the base defense. You can really look at starters of about 30 to 32 guys on this team, and that's what I'm really going to watch here in the next couple of weeks at camp. And that is a welcome change, Josh, because let's be honest, since maybe the middle of the 2000s, and that team was older, we know they were headed toward the end, the Chiefs have not been in this position where they can put that many groupings together and not fall completely off the cliff. There's just more talent on this team.
No, especially when you look at defensively in sub-package sets, you're around 50-50 on your base defense and those sub-packs, that fourth defensive back, the fifth defensive back, your Allen Baileys of the world who are coming in as your rush specialist, and it could be Dontari Poe coming in next to Allen Bailey in those pass situations to help collapse the pocket. Let's go back to offensive tackle, because we talked about Dontari Poe signing, one that kind of went under the radar because it happened about 45 minutes before Poe signed and Poe takes the headlines, is Tony Hugo signing with the Chiefs, a guy who's played 40 games in the NFL, 28 starts. He made a start last year for Jack McNeil Jr., and who's the new offensive line coach with the Giants. He made a start. He was on the Giants playoff roster last year. And why is this significant, Mitch? There's 15 offensive linemen in camp now with the addition of Hugo. Hugo is only the fifth of those 15 with any starting experience. Now let's take the projected starting five out of the lineup, take the remaining 10 we have. There's only one player other than Tony Hugo with any NFL experience, any, and it's Rob Brueggemann, two games with the Atlanta Falcons, 2010 through 2011. The reserve offensive line, especially at tackle, is something to watch. The Chiefs, they're going to have a guy like Donald Stevenson there competing. David Mims, Jeff Allen, where's he going to fit in? You've got a lot of guys that the team is excited about, but they're just inexperienced. In fact, Romeo Crennel said today, Donald Stevenson, he's a guy the team needs to step up and earn a position in training camp.
We're going to rotate guys over there. You know, we got Mims. We have, who else do we have? Well, Stevenson. And that's a guy that we need to take a good look at. And so he'll get an opportunity to get some work to find out what he can do. Tony has played left tackle and started a left tackle in this league. As soon as he picks up and learns the offense, I think that we could see him there as well. And then the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to take Allen and give Allen some work at tackle as well, because, you know, he's played that all along. And so we're going to put the weight on his shoulders to learn two positions. You know, guard is totally new for him, but he is comfortable at tackle, feels more comfortable there. So we're going to tell him you got to learn guard and tackle, and then we're going to play him at tackle some. So we're trying to cover our bases, you know, as we go into this thing.
Brandon Allen. Albert and Eric Winston obviously entrenched in their starting roles. Those jobs aren't up for grabs. What is up for grabs? Who's going to be the swing tackle behind them? We're going to get a little peek on who's kind of got the upper hand, because Brandon Albert expected to miss this afternoon's first practice of training camp, excused by Romeo Crennel for personal reasons and family reasons. So there's going to be a left tackle in there that isn't part of that projected starting five. So we'll kind of get to see a little, show the hand a little bit on who's got the upper hand to start.
Well, Josh, based on what I saw this morning, it'll start with Donald Stevenson, and he's been here longer. But Tony Hugo, the signing, I was very happy about that. One, the guy's been a champion. He's played in this league, played in the postseason, and won huge postseason games. But the other, his bulk of his career was with the Indianapolis Colts. And in their scheme, when they had Peyton Manning, there were so many times that those tackles had to play off the edge all the time. Rarely did you see Dallas Clark line up in a regular tight end position, shoulder to shoulder with the tackle. He's flexed out a lot. And even there were times if they did have another tight end in the game who was shoulder to shoulder, it wasn't always on Hugo's side. So you're bringing a guy who has been able to block in space in a wide open attack, if you will. To me, that's a positive. The other is the fact that you don't have to rush Donald Stevenson and say he's got to be ready to be the backup swing tackle for the Atlanta Falcons. He might be, but if he's not, then you still have Hugo, who's played in this league and played at a high level.
As we continue to go on through training camp and as practices continue, our 65 TPT team will be out there filming things, and this show will bring you exclusive practice footage. Nothing exclusive on today's show, just our kickoff show, because, well, they haven't been out there for a practice with cameras. But if you tune in each and every day, there's a practice here on KCChiefs.com. Typically, we'll be on from 2 until 2:30, about a 30-minute show. You can check it out and see the exclusive actions going on. We'll also have exclusive player interviews. In fact, the players have kind of been going about their business. They haven't been available to the media much so far, Mitch, except for yesterday and move-in day. And one of the players who really impressed you and I during the offseason, and in one of those positions we're talking about in the sub-package sets, was Jaleel Brown. Jaleel Brown was all over the place this past offseason with interceptions, with playing that kind of linebacker-ish, safety-ish hybrid role, yeah. Essentially what John McGraw was supposed to play last year until injuries happened, and what McGraw had played so well for the Chiefs when he was able to play the role he was supposed to and not having to go into a different role. Jaleel really took a step forward, in my opinion, this offseason, and he's a guy we asked yesterday, how do you keep the momentum from this offseason and bring it into training camp?
You went through this a year ago. Today, the Chiefs signed Poe, so he's going to be here. All the draft picks are going to be here for the first day. Okay. How important is that as a rookie to be here on time and not miss a day?
I think it's very important. Last year, you know, with the lockout, the team, the rookies on the team, we had to get a late start, missing OTAs and whatnot. I feel like as much time as you can get on the field and in the classroom with the coaches and the teammates, the better off you'll do. So for him to go ahead and get signed is perfect for the team.
From your standpoint, going into camp, you got two guys ahead of you that are really legit guys ahead of you. What do you look at? What do you focus on going into training camp? Because those are going to be two guys that are really tough to beat out.
I'm really just trying to contribute as much as I can, the best way possible with the team. Right now, not even concerned with the depth chart. I'm just wherever the coaches ask me to go out there and perform whatever position that is, that's what I'll go ahead and do.
Can you play both safety and corner, or are you just strictly corner?
Right now, I would say corner, but I haven't even thought about it or talked to the coaches about safety.
Do you ever play safety in the past, maybe in college or high school?
I did play a little safety in college for a year or so, but other than that, I've been strictly corner.
Did you look forward to this day, or is this a day you kind of dreaded?
No, I actually did look forward to walking up the steps right here and seeing you guys out here. It was a pleasure for me, and knowing that football has finally started. I haven't had the pads on in I don't know how long. So it's good to be out here in, football, ready to go, waiting for this for some time.
Jaleel, you're a guy who looked like you had a pretty solid OTA. He's got some first team working with the sub-package defense. How do you play on the momentum that you're able to do in the offseason program and bring it out here?
Really just let it carry over to now. I mean, obviously getting some reps with the ones is something that I want to do, and to be able to do that was great for me. And hopefully, I can bring the same intensity, the same contribution to the team that I did during OTAs into the season.
You look a lot bigger than you did at the end of last year. Did you put on a lot of muscle, a lot of weight?
Really just leaned out a little bit, started eating a little healthier and working on my weight and whatnot and to get ready for camp.
You think this camp will be more physical than last year?
I do, because of the whole lockout last year. We got a late start. This year, the guys have a little bit of time under their belt, the rookies and the team together. So we can get started a little faster this year. Last year, obviously, it took a little impact on the team with the lockout, so I definitely think this year will be a bit faster than last year.
What's the goal for this team this year?
Really just to give it our all, get started, with the AFC West, and obviously you win that to assure that we're going to have a spot in the playoffs and from there going to win, play, win the Super Bowl.
Is this team ready to win the division right now?
I definitely feel like we are. I mean, I feel like we have a ton of talent in the team across the board, you know, first team, second team, and whatnot. I definitely feel like this is going to be a good year for the team.
Josh, let me back with you on Chiefs training camp live presented by your Heartland Health here in St. Joseph, Missouri. Mitch Holthus had to go take the radio calls. He'll be dropping in and out throughout the show as we move on through training camp. Locally, if you're in Kansas City, you can hear Mitch tonight on Kevin Keatsman's show on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 5 p.m. Central. So you get more thoughts from Mitch here on the first day of training camp. In fact, you can get thoughts right off the practice field. The Chiefs hit the practice field for the first time at 3:30 p.m. today. So if you want to kind of, as things are happening, tune into Sports Radio 810 WHB, our broadcast partner, to hear Mitch with Kevin Keatsman at 5 o'clock today. Another guy we heard from yesterday, Travis Daniels. He's in the heart of this competition to earn a job as a reserve role. In fact, he's been a cornerback for the Chiefs, but with Eric Berry and Kendrick Lewis both out of action this offseason, Travis Daniels switches to the safety position. A lot of people thought he'd switch back to corner now that Berry and Lewis and even Abram Elam will be healthy and on the field, but Daniels says that's not the case. He anticipates playing safety as training camp opens later this afternoon.
We haven't had any talks about that, but I'm just assuming that it'll be the same role as it was in OTAs. But just knowing my talent, ability, and things like that, I look forward to probably, you know, moving around the secondary.
How do you feel about playing there? I mean, do you feel pretty comfortable?
Yeah, I feel very comfortable. You know, at the end of the day, it's football. And being a defensive back, one thing I always try to pride myself on is being able to be versatile. You know, never really want to be that person that only could play one thing. You know, the NFL is a not-for-long type of business, so the way that you can maximize all your opportunities is being able to play multiple positions.
As you say, you've done a bunch of different stuff. Have you ever been just kind of a safety like you were?
Yeah, actually, when I was at LSU my junior year, I started off playing safety, and then one of our corners ended up getting hurt, moved to corner, and had success there and stayed there for the remainder of my college career.
What's been the biggest difference for you with the two different positions?
The biggest difference is the mental part of it, seeing the ball come out of the quarterback's hands from back looking forward, as opposed to seeing everything from a side view. So that take a little bit of time to get used to, but for the most part, it's smooth sailing.
From the safety spot against the run, how do you feel you are?
Against the run, you know, you definitely got to come up and make more tackles, more open field saving the game type of tackles. So definitely up to that challenge. Don't mind putting my pads on anybody. We all professionals. That's what we do.
Travis, you've been around this team now a couple of years. Why is this team different than the other ones you've been around?
Well, I like the chemistry on this team. You know, from all the defensive backs to the wide receivers, running backs, everybody's more like a family oriented. As opposed to, you know, you just being in the NFL after everybody's days of work going home. Like a lot of the guys, we stick together. We watch them together outside of meeting time. You know, we go out to eat. You know, we know each other's kids' name, wives, girlfriends, things like that. So just that whole camaraderie is a big difference on this team as opposed to different teams.
Is that because of Romeo, or why is that?
Well, I mean, I think Coach Romeo has a lot to do with it, you know, because, you know, that's the type of guy that he is. And, you know, it just seemed like from the start of time, you know, however your leader is, that's how everybody else is going to follow.
And do you expect this camp to be more physical?
The game of football is physical. So anytime we put on the pads, you know, it's just going to be physical. That's just the way that it goes.
A little more intense than last year?
I don't know. We have to talk about it after it happens.
What's the difference between this year and last year as far as, you know, last year not having much prep time before you got up here to St. Joe, whereas this year you had the organized offseason activity?
Yeah, well, it's definitely big in the sense that our rookies coming in to this camp understand exactly what we're looking for out of them. They didn't have numerous amounts of practices and film sessions and different things like that to understand what everybody's capabilities are, what everybody expects out of you, as opposed to just coming here, being thrown in the fire. 2 weeks later, you're playing in the preseason game and their head is spinning. Now everybody's able to sit back, relax, and understand exactly what they need to do.
As I've said earlier on the show, expect a lot of great things here on this program live from you every practice day throughout training camp as we get geared on. Throughout training camp, you'll have exclusive practice footage, one-on-one exclusive player interviews, and other updates with what's going on here in St. Joseph. If you can make it out to St. Joe, let me tell you, you got to beat the heat. It's going to be hot, but There's some new seating here this year with more covered area for fans, so there's a little bit better areas to seek refuge. If you've been here in the past, you know it's so open out there and there's no shade. That's not the case anymore. The folks at Missouri Western have made some specific changes to the outline of the stadium and the seating area where you can go and seek some shelter from the heat. A couple cool dates coming up as well. Obviously, the Arizona Cardinals are coming. If you want to see two teams mix it up and scrap it up a little bit, they'll be here beginning on Monday, August 6th. Keep up to date the times and matchups of maybe when the scrimmages and those types of things aren't set yet, but circle that Monday, August 6th, of when Arizona will arrive here. And I expect maybe Tuesday the 7th would probably be a solid day to come, or maybe Wednesday the 8th. Those would probably be there here, and then they start going with a few things. We also have some great things for KC Chiefs 50 years in Kansas City. Plan KCChiefs50.com. On August 1st, we will be having the first of several caravan tours, a celebration tour throughout the Chiefs Kingdom footprint. And basically what that is, Super Bowl trophy will be on display. Bobby Bell will be there. Lynn Dawson will be there. It's essentially, it's a caravan, and it's going to begin at the Hy-Vee here in St. Joe on August 1st. KCChiefs.com will have all the information, the dates and times, and if they're coming to a city near you, this thing is just kicking off here, and it's going to be going off throughout, I believe, the first 2 months of the season. So a lot of cool things happening. Then, of course, on this show, which I think is the coolest of the coolest things that the Chiefs are doing, it's giving you an opportunity to be on national television, simulcast of the NFL Network, for our preseason game on the sidelines at Lambeau Field as our sideline reporter. The Rock the Mic contest is going. We've got a lot of great submissions already, but you still have 2 weeks to submit us your demo reel. All you got to do is be 18 or older. You can be male, female, bald, hair. It doesn't matter what you look like. We just want to see if you can talk. And if you can talk Chiefs football, send us 1 minute demo reel talking anything Chiefs. You don't even have to be on the sideline. We'll pick 5 finalists that will go to vote from you. Fans will vote for the fan that travels with us, with the Chiefs, to Green Bay, and we'll hand over the sideline duties in our preseason telecast that's simulcast on the NFL Network to you. You'll be working with Trent Green and Paul Burmeister on live television for the second half of the Chiefs and Packers final preseason game. Once in a lifetime opportunity. I don't know of any other team that does this. Journalists will go throughout their whole career seeking to get on a National Football League telecast, and this is your chance as a Chiefs fan. And who knows, if you do pretty well, who knows where you can go? You might get a job out of it. A sample of what your competition is, however, we've kind of put together a best of, and you can judge, is it best of or is it a parody of best of? You be the judge, but here's some of the submissions we've gotten so far in the Rock the Mic contest.
Thank you, Trent. As you can see, I'm down here in the end zone where Matt Cassel and the Chiefs just capped off their opening 75-yard drive with a touchdown pass to Jonathan Baldwin, not including a Lambeau leap. Of course, you know, I caught up with Jonathan just moments ago, and he said the leap wasn't even a consideration. Obviously.
Hey guys, this is Blake Jennings, Chiefs sideline reporting. Real quick, I had the chance to talk to head coach Romeo Crennel going into the locker room. He said, look, Blake, we're up 13-7.
That's right. They are headed to New Orleans. The Jayhawks with an 80-67 victory over the North Carolina Tar Heels. A game that was tied 47 apiece at the half, but it was the...
Thanks, Trent and Paul, and it was an exciting first half for the Kansas City Chiefs as they lead over the Packers 7-0. Matt Cassel had a pretty good first half. He was 5 of 7 passing with a touchdown pass.
So give it a shot. I want to hand my microphone off to you on live television and let you get a taste of what it takes to be in the National Football League. What better place to do it? A lot of Chiefs fans have been to Arrowhead Stadium before. But have you been on the sidelines of one of the greatest stadiums outside of Arrowhead in Lambeau Field? You're going to get to see your beloved Chiefs take on the historic Green Bay Packers at a historic stadium. Preseason atmosphere, I'll tell you right now, it is like a regular season game at Lambeau Field. And we were there for the final preseason game last year. It's not one of those things where 20,000 people are in the stands for a preseason game. This place is packed. It's awesome. It's big league atmosphere, and your chance to get into it again, KCChiefs50.com. Remember, we'll be here every time there's a practice live from St. Joe for Training Camp Live presented by Heartland Health. Check us out tomorrow. Same place, same time, 2 to 2:30 p.m. We'll have exclusive footage from the Chiefs' first practice. We'll have player interviews to get with you. Stuff you can't find anywhere else but right here with 65 TPT and KCChiefs.com. We'll see you tomorrow.